We're doing Netivot Shalom on Parashat Devarim, and our subject is Shabbat Chazon. Shabbat Zon Niket Shabbat Chazon. This Shabbos is called Shabbat Chazon, al shem shemaftirin ba Chazon Yeshayahu, because the Haftarah that we will read begins with the words Chazon, the vision of Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah. And being that the Haftar begins with the word Chazon, so we call it Shabbat Chazon. V'nei lashon ze Chazon eino matzui b'shal nevim. We do not encounter the term Chazon about a prophecy that's given by other prophets. Only Isaiah uses the term Chazon. V'tzich bi'u b'min ityached nevuat Yeshayahu mikol hanevim. So we have to understand, why is Isaiah singled out to use that term? We have 10 terms for prophecy. There's nevuah, there's masah, there's chazon. That's one of the 10 terms for prophecy. Why is Isaiah the only one who uses that term for prophetic vision? You read the first prophecy. This is the opening prophecy of Isaiah. It is all about rebuke. He's saying how I raised these children and they rebelled against me. So why is this prophecy described as chazon? So Rashi on the Pasuk tells us. Rashi says the term chazon indicates a difficult prophecy. Of the 10 terms for prophecy, Chazon indicates the harshest. But he's going to go a different route. And why is the Shabbos named after that? And we also have to understand, Isaiah begins his prophecy and he says, listen heavens and hearken, O earth. God has spoken. Why does he begin this way? It's other than Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't find anyone else speaking this way. So we can explain based on what the holy work Pri Haaretz says. Shemakshe biyoter al inyan avelut shel tisha be'av. He asks, why do we take on these customs of mourning on Tisha B'Av? Halo atzvut ve'yagon, when we speak about sadness, when we speak about feeling abject, morose, hi haklipa kasha biyoter mikol haklipot. That is the worst encasing. Sadness is something that can really envelop a person and hold a person down and keep him away from anything holy. Why would we do that to ourselves on Tisha B'Av? Obviously something sad happened, but why is Tisha B'Av where we take on these acts of mourning? When we speak about idol worship, so we call idol worship atzabeyim kesef v'zahav. What term do we want to use for paganism? We call it sadness. You want to describe something bad? You want to describe something negative? You use the term sad. Atzabeyim, right? We say it in Hallel. It says in the prophet Hosea, Chabur atzabim Ephraim, hanachlo. Hashem, let go of the Jewish people. They've been overtaken by atzabim, which could mean either sadness or idol worship. So the prophet Hosea is complaining that we've taken on too much idol worship. What is he called, idol worship? A form of sadness. Now, when we speak about Hashem, there's no room for sadness. When we speak about Hashem, the Pasuk says, Oz v'chedva b'mkomo. In Hashem's place, we have strength, we have happiness. And it says, you want to connect to the Ribon Shel Olam? En ha-shechina shora ela mitoch simcha. A person can only be suffused of Hashem's presence if he has happiness. So the Midrash says, on the Pasuk in Eicha, it says, Ki Hashem hoga al rov pesha. Hashem punished her over all her rebellious ways. The Midrash says, you think it happened for nothing? No, we deserved it. And the explanation is as follows. The idea of mourning over the destruction of the temple is something that that's counterintuitive. It's gone. So if it's gone, what are you mourning for? It's not here. That's it. It's finished. Move on. David HaMelech kept fasting and praying for a child that he wouldn't die. And when the child died, he took a shower. He asked to have food brought. So his servant said, hey, wait, what are you doing? When the child was alive, you were fasting, you were praying. Now the child's dead. What are you crying? Now you're going to eat? So he said, so long as he was alive, I had what to pray for. So I fasted, I cried, I didn't eat. I didn't take care of myself. But now it's over. So the temple's destroyed. It's over. Let's move on. So the Midrash says, maybe you'll think that mourning over the past is gone. What are you mourning for on Tisha B'Av? The Midrash answers, no. Any generation that the temple wasn't rebuilt in, It's as though the temple was destroyed at that time. And so we have to think to ourselves, wait a second. When we mourn on Tisha B'Av, what we're really mourning is that we're not closer to Hashem. I don't have a Beit HaMikdash. I could do better. I could have a Beit HaMikdash today. I don't yet, because I haven't moved up the ladder yet. V'inei b'inyan tshuva. When we speak about tshuva, there are two paths to tshuva. One path is sumera. Person removes that which is evil. Then there's another path, which is called asei tov, doing what's good. But there's another way. That the Hasidim like to say, how do you reach sur meira? How do you remove that which is evil? Through focusing on doing good. Sur meira by asei tov, by doing good. The Ramchal writes that man was created to enjoy a connection with Hashem. That's the essence of a Jew. And when a Jew merits that, so then nothing else is important to him in life. And then he's removed himself from any connection to anything that's evil. How do you connect to Hashem? Shabbos. How do you grow? How do you get a different vantage point on life? You know, we can have two perspectives on life. Very often we get caught up with now. We get caught up with our problems. We get caught up with our aspirations. On a daily basis, our weekdays, our Yemei Chol, we're busy with the mundane. So if you're waiting in line and the laundry machine is taken, so you're very focused and you're very annoyed, and when am I going to get my laundry done, and how come there's such a long line here? What's happening right now is very important. But is it really? Will you remember this moment for the rest of your life, the moment you stood in line? You go to the makolet and someone cuts you in line. Right now, all you're thinking about is that filthy person who actually had the nerve to slowly move their cart, you know, that way where it's not so clear who's in front of who in line, and there's a long line behind you, and no one wants to be the impolite one to say, but he's being impolite. He's cutting us all in line. And you know how you watch those wheels shift into your lane, and you see every little move, and you're so focused, does it really matter? Will you remember this person in a week, in a month, in a year? But right now, we're focused on this minuscule moment. I'm going to have to be here in line for another 3 minutes. That's so important, is it? So in life, on the day-to-day, we could be very focused on things that are very little, very non-important. That's a weekday. And so on weekdays, we have the system. Sur mina asei tov. Don't do what's wrong, do what's right. Shabbos is something bigger. Shabbos, you're supposed to have a broader perspective on life. Shabbos, you're not focused on making ends meet today. You're not looking at your credit card bill. You're not looking at your cell phone bill. You're not looking at the missed SMSs or the missed calls. You're not dealing with the little things of the day to day. And a person can be greater than the moment. He can connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Our sages say, if a person keeps Shabbos the way he should, even if he was a pagan like the generation of Enosh, he can attain forgiveness. What does that mean, if he keeps Shabbos the way he should? That he really connects to the Ribbono Shel Olam. On Shabbos, we have a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's when we're called Banim, we're the sons of Hashem. And if we are like Banim, then from above we get an abundance like one gives his children. Shabbos can uplift a Jew. Shabbos can reconnect a person to his Creator, and it doesn't matter where he is. On Shabbos, you don't have to be where you were. Now, I want to expand on this point for a minute. The question is, what does our Shabbos look like? If you walk into Shabbos and you're a worn rag, you've hardly slept, you stayed up Thursday night doing nothing on the internet, and so you show up to the Friday night meal half dead, and you force yourself to stay awake, and the kids are talking Divrei Torah, and you're trying to contain yourself from telling them to be quiet, because that's what you've done the rest of the week, and tonight you sort of should be more patient with them. You get a Shabbos morning, and you look at your watch, and you say, shucks, I missed davening again. And hopefully you make the right choice and you force yourself to go to shul, even though you're going to be pretty late. But at least you'll be in shul today. Hopefully you made the right choice. Yes, guys, if you show up, get up late, go to shul Shabbos morning. Get out of those pajamas. Don't say, I'm already in bed at 9:30. I'll stay to bed till 11. No. Go out, go. Your Shabbos will be different. Even if you show up for Musaf, Shabbos is different if you show up to shul. Of course you should show up an hour before davening and learn and say Tehillim. I'm not contesting that. That's Gan Eden. But if you didn't merit that Gan Eden, you shouldn't lose the rest of Gan Eden. Go to shul. You go to shul, and you come home. Now, what does your Shabbos day meal look like? So if you're like the average person, once the chulent hits the stomach, it doesn't go to the stomach, it goes to the head. And you're already ready for bed, right? It's been such a long time, I've been out of bed. It's all of 2 hours. Come on, how much can a Jew do on a Shabbos? But Shabbos can have more to it than that. If you prepare for Shabbos correctly, Shabbos should look differently. Even the bread is not the bread you eat all week. It's challah. And you don't put it on the table. You have a cover beneath it, a cover above it. You don't cut it with a regular knife. You have a challah knife. You don't drink your wine from a regular cup. You have a kiddush cup. You don't drink the regular drinks. You don't eat the regular foods. The experience should be different. But that requires preparation. That means you start thinking on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday how Shabbos is going to be different. And you prepare by coming in well rested. And you prepare by having a Dvar Torah. And even if you have to cheat, and you're not going to learn all of the Sephorno on the Parsha, and you're not going to take out Nor HaChaim HaKadosh, fine, go online. If you invest 10 minutes, you could find a nice Dvar Torah. You could even find a nice story on the Parsha. Chabad has nice Divrei Torah. Many websites do. You could go to Sir Jonathan Sachs, you know, the former chief rabbi of England. He has a nice thought on the Parsha every week. You could listen to it, Covenant and Conversation, if you like high English. But it doesn't matter. There are many websites. Prepare. If you invest a little bit of time preparing, your Shabbos will look different. You want to connect on Shabbos, well, then you have to open yourself for connection. If Shabbos is all about catching up on sleep because I didn't bother sleeping Thursday night, I didn't bother taking a nap Friday afternoon, you know, Shabbos is coming in really late these days. I only get home from shul at 9 o'clock. Well, then guess what? That means you could have rested in the afternoon. If Shabbos is coming in really late, then you could take a nap at 11 o'clock in the morning, and even if you get up at 3, you'll still have plenty of time to shower and get ready for Shabbos. The stores are closed. You have to do your shopping before you take your nap, but take a nap Friday afternoon. You'll have a different Friday night. You'll be able to learn something. You'll be able to have time with your family. So when we speak about Shabbos being a different experience, that doesn't exactly work if I'm spending most of my Shabbos in horizontal mode. It doesn't work. You're not going to get there. If I'm open to going to a shir, if I get a chavrusa, if you didn't do it, try it once. Get a chavrusa, buy some ragalach and a little bit of coffee before Shabbos, and try learning with a chavrusa over ragalach. You'll see it's a different experience. It's a different Shabbos. You want a spiritual Shabbos? Well, then you got to do it. You got to prepare it. It doesn't happen on its own. On its own, what happens is you wake up and you say, "Shucks, I overslept again," and then you wonder whether you should get out of bed or not. You smell the chulent, maybe, yeah. But that's not going to give you the Shabbos we're talking about. And anyways, it's a good idea to get into the right habits so that when you have a family, you'll be in the right habits. When I was in yeshiva, I used to daven Vasikin every Shabbos. I'd go to sleep right after the meal. Of course, learn a little bit of Medrash before you go to sleep. You want to go to sleep on a happy thought. So you take out, we have the Medrash says here in English. If you're up to it in Hebrew, you start learning Medrash Tanhuma. You learn one or two pieces of Medrash. You go to sleep nice and early. Even on these Friday nights, you could still get to bed pretty early. And then you want a taste of Gan Eden, try getting up early, going to Daven, and learning a little bit Shabbos. It's a different Shabbos. So this idea is an important idea. Shabbos should take us out of our daily troubles, our daily focus, our daily routine. You're not even supposed to learn on Shabbos what you learn the rest of the week. Try to make your learning different. If you feel like you have to learn the same thing, so do a review. Don't learn new topics. Make it easier. But Shabbos is supposed to be different. If you should have a nice Shabbos shirt. You don't want it to be white. Get a different color. But have something special for Shabbos. I remember I was once with a friend for Shabbos by a family that he was by often. And we were sitting after the meal. And one of the kids in the family says to him, we'll call him Chaim. One of the kids comes out and says, "Chaim, last time you were in our house, you forgot your underwear here. So he says, okay. And the kid comes down with these like purple underwear. And and he looks up and he says, oh, my Shabbos underwear. So I didn't know, but he was serious. And everyone burst out laughing. Like everyone in the room burst out laughing. You know, the little kid brings him his underwear in front of everyone. But I always remember that this guy has Shabbos underwear. You know, by him, Shabbos is special. Not only the tie he wears, the suits he wears, the talis, he has a talis for Shabbos. He has Shabbos underwear. So it's none of my business. But I was there when the kid brought it to him, and he said the line. But yeah, if you make Shabbos special, but that's up to us to make Shabbos special in the preparations and in the things that we designate for Shabbos. So then you're above. Shabbos isn't one of those days. It's a day unto itself. So we're in the middle of a thought. Bezrat Hashem, Thursday night, we'll continue with this piece on Shabbat Chazon. Now we're out of time.